Now is the time to celebrate. Football is finally back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at a $1 million top prize, with a total of $3 million up for grabs for this Thursday's football contest. Getting in on Thursday night's single-game showdown is easy. All you have to do is download DraftKings using promo code MAYS, M-A-Y-S. Draft six players from the season opener. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now to start making it rain. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using the code MAYS will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAYS, M-A-Y-S. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code MAYS to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code MAYS, M-A-Y-S, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And welcome to another Hoops Adjacent. I'm David Aldridge. With me in L.A., sweating in L.A., my man Waz Lambre. Waz, what's the temperature today?
It's going to be a mild high of 88
here in the valley. Okay, so you're back to normal, sort of, kind of.
I was grilling some chicken wings yesterday and literally just being there, sweat. I didn't even have to move, just sweat. but the holiday weekend is over. I will not be outside all day. I'm going to be in the house worshiping the central air.
It is a benevolent God, central air conditioner. Only wants the best for all of us. And our special, and I think, Waz, is this our first, this might be our first repeat guest.
Returning guest. He was one of our first cats.
We're coming up on a year. Can you believe we've been doing this for a year almost?
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Man, and he's one of our first guests. So I said we have to have him back because his squad is about to take the number one seed out on the whole league and going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, I don't know if it'll be – I think it's going to be Boston, but you never know. My friend Jason Todd Jackson from the Miami Heat. Jax, what is up, sir?
Now, you know we don't talk like that down here, okay? Because I've spent 16 quality seasons as a full-time employee of the Miami Heat because I don't talk like that. So we should note that we are taping this on the eve of all of that possibly occurring.
That is correct.
I'm happy to return after it actually does.
I got you, man. I got you. But the Heat, as we tape, have a still commanding lead in their series.
Historical lead. That's what I refer to it as historical.
Historical lead against the Milwaukee Bucks. And we will get to the Heat in a second. But I wanted to talk, and mainly because of what Waz had been tweeting out, which I actually agree with, but I think it's a good starting point, is I wanted to talk about the Brooklyn Nets to start off. Last week, as we all know, as everybody listening knows, I'm sure by now, they hired Steve Nash as their new head coach. And Steve, of course, has no head coaching experience. He has no coaching experience to speak of. He was advisor, consultant, whatever you want to say, to the Warriors the last several years. And that meant, you know, it's a lot of different things. But I mean, basically, he was around if people needed to talk to him about stuff, if they needed him to show him some things, work on some stuff. He got very close over the last few years, even before Kevin Durant went to Golden State. He and Nash had gotten tight because they started working out together in 2014. So he knows Steve. They have a relationship. They had one before he went to Golden State. Steve was one of the people he called when he was thinking about going to Golden State. So obviously Durant vouched for him. Whether he went in and said, you got to hire Steve Nash, or they came to him and said, we want to hire Steve Nash. What do you think? He vouched for him in a very strong way. And so, Waz, I'll let you speak on what you said in the first, you know, few hours after that news became public.
So it has a lot of layers for me personally, because I'm somebody who, and nobody who listens to what we do or what I've ever been doing since I started at this job, is I'm going to advocate for the players, aka the workers. So the Nets go out, they sign KD and Kyrie. Context is important. These are the two moodiest cats in the NBA. Right. Okay. So if you're going to hitch your wagon to these guys, you already know keeping them happy has to be front of mind. And specifically with KD, Kyrie is a great player. He's a star player, but he's not KD. He kind of doesn't set or change your fortunes. So once you hitch your wagons to a Kevin Durant, and you know that he's very in tune with how he feels and his day to day and the this and that, let's make this guy happy. How do we do that? He must get Steve Nash in here. He doesn't want to get some clown in here. Right. He wants to get Steve Nash in here. He wants to get a two-time MVP in here. He wants to get somebody who is known for his mind for the game. And not just that, and people who maybe you just tuned into the NBA. When Steve Nash was at the Phoenix Suns, he was a personality manager.
Yeah,
that Amari Stoudemire and Shawn Marion thing was not easy to manage. It was an everyday you're tending to these personalities. Because for those of you who don't know, Shawn Marion felt like he was underappreciated by the Suns. I'm a defense first guy. I'm a glue guy. I'm a this. Y'all mm-hmm. don't appreciate me, even though y'all gave me $23 million a year. Y'all love Amari more. Whatever. It was on Steve Nash to make that relationship work. So not only is he a Hall of Famer, not only does he already have a relationship with KD, but he has a track record of making this kind of situation work. Of managing the personalities of the stars, the people that drive your team, whatever. So, David, for me, I'm like, how can you go against the Nets process when they're making KD happy? How can we be part of the, and the media all agrees, even though I kind of don't. This is the player empowerment era. We're empowering KD to have the supervisor that he wants. You can't disagree with that process if you're quote unquote pro player empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. And so it comes out and Steve Nash gets hired, and then the chatter, because we're in the moment of, I guess, caring about what happens to black people in professional settings. I guess we care about it now, right? And so people say, hold on a minute. Steve Nash's resume doesn't call for this. And for me, specifically, why people aren't getting it, I'm like, well, process-wise, you can say what you want about black head coaches, black this, black that. The players drove this decision. The players are black. Mm-hmm. And so if the players are being empowered to bring in who they want, you can't disagree with that process if you call yourself pro player empowerment.
Right.
And then the chatter turned, DA, when they said to me, well, hold on a second. Weren't you the same one that said Becky Hammon was skipping the line? I said, yeah. Becky Hammon never played in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And that's not, anti-women. I'm like, the players, the people who built the league, deserve equity. They deserve the right to be unqualified and get paid to be a head coach. Because guess what? J. Kidd built this league. So, right. So I don't care about that. Becky Hammon can follow the same process as Kenny Atkinson, Nick Nurse, Brett Brown. The list goes on. The Cat in Memphis. The list goes on of people who did not play in the league.
Tama, known forevermore on this show as the Cat from Memphis. I love it.
She did not play in the league. I'm not saying a woman doesn't deserve to be part of that process, but she should do the same things that they did.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said. Jackson, we'll get you in on this as well. I have no problem with Steve Nash getting the job. I really don't. You know, Steve Nash is universally liked. He is obsessive about the game of basketball, which you need from a head coach. You need somebody who's obsessed. He is great with people at all levels, up and down your food chain in an organization. And as you mentioned, Waz, the superstar vouched for him. So as an owner, how can I not hire him at that point? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't mind that as much. My issue that I wrote about was not so much that, it's that those types of relationships, the reason why Kevin Durant vouches for Nash is because of the relationship they have built over multiple years. And most of your Black assistant coaches don't get to foment those types of relationships with the star players because they are the workout guy. They're the shooting guy. They're the film guy. They don't get to hang out with the guy and play golf with him and do all the other stuff that you do off the court. Cause they're grinding trying to keep their gig. So that's my only concern is that's when you see differences in terms of how young white coaches who have an aspiration to be head coaches and young Black coaches with the same aspirations get treated. Those relationships where you get an opportunity to meet people off the floor and spend time with them, those are the ones that for whatever reason, and I don't think it's all racism, the Black coaches don't get those opportunities. That's what troubles me about the hire. It has nothing to do with Steve, nothing to do with Steve. So, Jackson, I wanted to bring you in. Like, you know, you've got a guy down there who's been down there forever.
A grinder.
Spoelstra. He's been down there forever, ever, ever in Eric.
25 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And they do it completely differently than just about everybody else does it. But the results speak for themselves to me. Like, the way they do it works.
The thing that I struggle with in the narrative of trying to bring Nash into this sucks for Black people situation is that there's plenty enough that actually does.
Right.
right.
Thank you.
Right.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Who
Comma Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. Like the bullshit and braggadocio, I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. Yes. And then he got their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in
there. Rodney Lambert.
So the Chicago and Detroit stuff, that was real.
That was real.
I mean, God forbid we don't have scholarship money that can't pay for the charters for the water polo in Iowa.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoops 5-4. We have ignition.
Gentlemen, I have no time for this conversation, not because I don't want to have it with you. I don't want to have it with anybody else. I'm happy to have it with you all.
Yeah.
I have three letters that David Aldridge, Big Waz, has that make this conversation moot. You ready for those three letters? H-O-F. if we're going to sit here and try to mitigate the circumstances surrounding a Hall of Fame point guard, by the way.
Yep.
Who is an international superstar, who is the Jerry Colangelo of Canada.
Right.
And we don't think that the credentials are in place or properly asserted. I don't know if he's going to be good or bad. He might be great. He might stink. He might hate it because he's rich. And he's like, this is way too much work.
Like, right. I'm going to have a 23-year-old yelling at me every day.
Right. Right. I don't know you.
And maybe he has the acumen for that. I mean, I just think that what you start doing as a people, when you don't focus on the stuff that you almost
that
got
matters.
In here, babe,
yeah,
then
yeah,
you start yeah. sounding ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and yeah. then that the narrative changes, and then MAGA hat ain't got no time to even sit and try to transition. What I'm trying to do with people, singularly, you all, is just that. I'm having singular conversations with people that I am friendly with or acquainted with who I know don't think and understand this stuff. That's my commitment. Yeah. And what I don't need is someone screaming over the top of my very intimate mind and pendulum shifting, right? With ignorant shit.
Yeah.
You going to bleep that out? I'm sorry.
This is a podcast.
No, that's staying in. That's staying in.
The kids, I should know better. But the point, I'm so frustrated by things that don't matter. And this as a topic matters with a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
If what you guys present is one resume and the other resume and they look the same and one's African-American, one's not, and that person just gets passed over and passed over, they interview well, that's all of a sudden. Now we're marching on Washington.
Yeah, right.
But if one of the greatest players of all time
man,
says he wants to coach your team, and listen, my understanding is that was some coaxing for weeks.
Yeah.
Not like, yo, man, you want to come get this? Yeah, I'm down.
Jax, have you ever watched Kyrie speak in public?
It takes a minute. Watch, I think you said it best. If you have someone that these two are ready to go for,
come on.
And you better.
Yeah.
You need to get that done yesterday.
You better leave the dollar portion blank.
And hold on. And you know what's important too, that people recognize, and I think the reason why DA started this show is because he wanted to have these conversations. If you want an example of cronyism and old boys network and this, that, and the third, you don't have to look much further than the 59th Street Bridge, 34th Street and 7th.
Right.
They hired a CAA guy. He's been a CAA fucking train the whole time. It's just CAA, 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 CAA. And that's no disrespect to Tibbs and what he's done in the league. You think they interviewed Adrian Griffin? You think that was a serious consideration ever when the Knicks did their coaching process? That was bad process.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad process. That's process you got to look at. When Leon Rose comes in and hires his freaking client.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad process. Let's have a whole week. Let's do a whole dissertation on what the freaking Knicks do and what they always do.
Let's not. But there is going to be an opportunity for us to really examine this because we still have plenty of jobs that are still open.
Of course.
Right. So you're going to be able to see, okay, if there's going to be a new wave of individuals to get that have earned, let me say, put it that way, have earned opportunities to come in, and Sam Cassell's not in that conversation.
Right.
If Ty Lue isn't in those conversations, if David Fizdale doesn't get a third opportunity, because we're all really quick to hand another opportunity to Mike D'Antoni, no disrespect to him.
Or to Tibbs, right.
Or to anybody that gets that can go sit in a room, sell themselves and get the gig. That's fine. As long as the names I just mentioned and many other more, you said Vanderpool, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And listen, I'm a Dan Craig guy.
Yeah,
I'm a Chris Quinn guy.
Right,
but guys that have the same credentials or have been at it longer than them should be in front of them.
Right,
and I know it doesn't work like that. I get that. I get that aspect of it. But going back to my main thrust. I believe it was the great college and NFL coach Jimmy Johnson who once said, there are different rules for different people.
Sure.
Sure. I'm not going to sit here and cut Troy Aikman because he's sleeping in the quarterback meeting.
Yeah.
Right. Jason Garrett's ass might have got a fine and put on the street if he fell asleep in that same meeting, right?
Right.
As a quarterback. Cowboys fans, as a quarterback, back off.
Who was the guy, Kervin Richards? That
I think
that
Jimmy, the special teams guy, right?
Jimmy Johnson cut for fumbling. Yeah, Emmitt Smith can fumble. You can't fumble.
That dude's going to put it in the zone a few times, right? I can hand him this rock, you know, every week 30 times. So if we can't, and I feel like I sound like Cedric the Entertainer's character in Barbershop, but if I can't speak to us about when we need to stop it, I'll just go over to that beautiful little strip of land to the east of me and put my toe in the sand, and you'll never have to hear from me again.
This is just not this, this, this isn't not, the hill to die on, is all I'm
this
saying.
Not this one.
This is it's not the hill to die one. On.
we got our eyes fully locked in on those other kids. Right.
And I want to acknowledge something else, because Stephen A. made a beautiful point, and he illustrated it beautifully, because he said, look, Steve Nash is going to win in Brooklyn, which therefore guarantees his next job. No matter what happens over there, they're going to win games. They're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to have big series, because he's being hired into a position where that's going to be the case, whether he's Derek Fisher or Steve Kerr, right? Whether he is good at the job or he's Snapchatting Clay Anthony Early's girl for no reason, even though he's his coach. But that's neither here nor there. So he's guaranteed to have that happen for him.
We could have a whole show on that.
Oh my goodness. We shouldn't, but we could. But what he was saying was that it's rare that the black coach gets into a position, a plum position.
Yes.
Where your next job is guaranteed by virtue of the position you were put in. Like, your resume is going to be 55, 60, 65% wins by the time you're out of Brooklyn because of the circumstance that you were presented with. And I respect that. But the idea that KD don't get to pick his coach. Now, DA, these are conversations, and Jax, I'm sure you've had it too. Are the players too white friendly? That's a different combo.
Now,
that's a completely different convo
with white players. Hello, my name is Jason Jackson. I'm addicted to white basketball. I haven't. It's ridiculous. Every time the Heat sign a white player, I'm like, tell me about you. Being us. How's that? How's that been? And it's just this developing relationship. But I also have had really cool. I don't know. I've flogged myself. Like, this is the topic your boy Amin put out on IG the other day. You know, just the idea of eating watermelon in front of white folks. watermelon is delicious.
It's tasty.
It's nutritious. But I refuse. And I shouldn't have that burger. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Well, this is my other ridiculum right here.
Right.
Is that I grew up in the suburbs. I have a bicultural existence. And I am tickled by white basketball players. And they are, listen, I've come across really good ones. I've come across great ones. And the fact that we are able to cross these bridges and connect with one another in this space is why the three of us love it in part. It's that we're able to create this almost euphoric space of human existence where the only issue is, can you ball. Can you help us?
Yeah.
If you can, cool. Let me teach you some things about the dark side. I don't have to worry about that because Pat's going to get your ass out of here.
Can I just say
this? Hey, Duncan Robinson, you ever had collard green and neck bone? About to.
And at this stage, he's had to.
Barber
got him.
the thing that makes me happiest, Jason, about your squad being 7-1 as we taped this so far in the postseason, on the verge of an Eastern Conference Finals.
Thank you for not messing up my money. Thank you, brother.
That once again, my boy Riles looks like the Don Data. Just sitting there with his mask on, just chilling like a villain. And I love that, again, the young folks that love the league as much as we do get to see James Patrick Riley in all his glory once again running some shit to the big time with a just ridiculously good squad playing ridiculously well right now. This makes me happy.
It's a team.
David. That's the thing I think we have forgotten about over the last 12 years as we have really embraced, you know, let's sign them. Can't beat them, join them. Can't join them, beat them, whatever the hell. And I had no problem with that. I loved it in Boston, clearly loved it in Miami. Had no issue with it in Golden State. Not really. And so with that, this was something else, right? Riles had some, I will say he has said, okay, these are not my words. He has said some signings out of peril.
Yeah.
Don't forget, as LeBron leaves and Dwayne eventually leaves and Chris Bosh gets sick, you still have to play basketball games, right? All the while people are trying to nab your G League products, trying to undermine your scenario. Houston comes in with that big old offer on CP. You're like, no! And then you had that run, right? Remember that second half run of 30 and 12, right? That crap. Yeah. And so now all of a sudden you're staring at Whiteside's contract, and Johnson's contract, and the other Johnson's contract, and Deion's contract. Right. And you're going, okay, all right. If we get the very best that we saw back when everybody was working for the money, in 30 and 12, then you got yourself a greedy little gutty squad, and you can fight. And that was not the case. So couple drafts, right? Bam, Tyler, development guys, DJ, none now. Put him on the list. Put Duncan on the list. You brought him up, and then you had those real staple sturdy guys, right? In Goran Dragic, Udonis Haslem, and Kelly Olynyk falls into that space, right?
And
all of a sudden, and I'm gonna tell you all a story I shouldn't tell you. I'm gonna get my ass fired. Hold on.
Let's do it.
Let me sturdy myself up real
quick. Have some liquid courage.
Let me get into athletic stance. Let me just say there was a party on what we call South of Fifth here.
There you go.
In Miami. Okay. And over Miami Beach, inside a private place, everybody's all dolled up in white. And we're saying goodbye to the greatest player in Miami Heat history. I'm not saying any names. You have to figure this out. Yeah. Okay. So that party had a special visitor there who was a part of the team who played in the building last on the last night of Dwayne Wade's home life. And he might be from Philadelphia. I'm not
might
sure.
Might be.
There might have been a guy there who went to Marquette who saw things that he probably would regularly see about the way the organization treats and sends off their greatest player in franchise history.
Timmy Nuttler, I think is his name, right?
That sounds familiar.
Now, Cycli been retired for a minute, so.
Cycli probably DJed it. Cycli was there DJing it, right?
When you have a first-hand view of that type of celebration the night before and then that night in the gym.
Yeah.
Okay. And then a year later, just to nail it down, not even a year later, I guess it's 68 months later, the three-part miniseries that was the raising of his jersey, number three.
My goodness.
You fully realize that you're in the right place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you all back to camp, and I'm gonna stop this sermon. I'm almost done.
Keep going.
I'm going to stop preaching. Don't you love when a pastor does that and it hits another?
I love that. Handkerchief all wet.
I'm about to sit down. But let me finish with this.
Then we're going to pass the plate.
Exactly. We're going to pay for this Lexus.
Oh, my Lord.
In training camp, I knew, guys. In training camp, I'm sitting next to Ruth Riley Hunter, who sits next to me on Heat Live pre- and post-game. And I said, Ruth, I'm not BSing you. I try not to cuss in front of Ruth. She's too nice for cussing. But I said, I'm not BSing you. This team is going to do more than we think. And then Jimmy starts talking that way. And it's like, oh, don't do that. I know it could happen. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be pissed.
Right. Keep it to yourself.
Feed me that. And then he sat down with Rachel and told her we were going to win the title. Everybody forgot. The team that Pat and Andy Ellisberg and Adam Simon and Spo, I don't know if they knew they were putting together one of those big old jigsaw puzzles my grandmama used to work on.
Yeah, right, right. The big pieces.
But they the tiny ones. Grandmama was tight. She put them glasses on, get that microphone, let that magnifying lens out.
A thousand pieces?
Put together a cheetah running through the Serengeti in about 2 days. What is wrong with me? Anyway. Oh, man. Hey, Martha, rest in peace. What a delightful man. But anywho, man, they did it. Yeah. They did it. And I don't know how far this is going to go, man, but I want the wheels to fall off before I find out. To have a team that's so trusting. Come on, man. They gave the 20-year-old The Rock 3 times the game sure the other night.
They sure did.
He's 20. He made some big shots. Oh, yes. He's the first Heat player younger than my oldest son. That's a ridiculous designation. It's the growth of Bam, the cementing of what Jimmy becomes in the postseason.
Yeah.
This deliciousness that is the Duncan Robinson stroke. To these wonderful pieces of Crowder and Iguodala that have found their way into this. And who is the Miami Heat's postseason leading scorer right now? That dude that dreams in Slovenian can speak some of the Baltic language, plus Spanish and English, Goran Dragic. It's something else, man. And by the way, let's not forget Goran came off the bench all season. And when Spo said, you know what, man, I don't think none's going to be ready. You might have to start.
Right.
He was hesitant.
He didn't want to mess up the juju of the team.
We have a good flow. It's amazing, guys. I could do it. I could do it for another 30 minutes. But
Jax, you know what's so crazy? We talked about Jax being a returning guest, but we talked about this very thing, and it's one of those things where. The thing that seems obvious is actually the thing where we were like, man, Jimmy Butler seems like a perfect fit for the team, the organization, the coach, the president, the culture. And Jax was like, he is.
I got breathy with it. Yeah, man. It's my joke all season long has been Jimmy Butler has been a Miami Heat player that didn't have his uniform yet.
Yeah.
It's just – to be able to stop practice and cuss people out and your head coach is loving it. Right? It's just sat there almost deadpan the other day. To be able to have these moments where Udonis Haslem can take over the huddle in the middle of the second round of the NBA playoffs on a campus in Orlando and Spo go, that's how we do this.
Yeah.
That's how we like it. Is supposed pay rate on change because he came in with another hurrah that got everybody straight? You know what I mean? You know what's most great at? Making sure everyone knows what this is really about. The players.
Yeah.
It pisses me off sometimes because I'm trying to do a half hour special on this man for a dozen years.
But he won't talk.
He doesn't allow it. We finally did a show about our coaches and he didn't want to be in it. Except to talk about his staff.
The other coaches, yeah. Yeah,
man. And it's not like this show of, all shucks, kicking rocks. It's not about me. No. That's who he is, man. He's a unique dude, man. When I'm expecting him to come out, and I've stopped doing this. D.A., you've been with me in the hallway in D.C. Yeah. Thing didn't go right. And I'm thinking he's coming out and ripping people's chests out. And that's when he's most even.
Yeah.
And then when you... Everybody's like done everything. You've been down here when we put these banners in the roof, and he's still talking about what you can do better.
Right.
It's something else. It's a wonderful balance that I don't have and that a lot of coaches don't have. And he's been able to balance these very fiery influences in Pat and Van Gundy, who, were the people who were right in front of him. Yeah. I grew up watching out. It's not like Rick was out there chilling. Mac Blackson, he's taken all those great basketball things from those men and his own very even personality, and crafted himself a Hall of Fame career.
Live sports are back, and our partners at Manscaped have partnered with us to make sure that your nuggets are as safe as possible. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Now, I always defer to Waz on this because this is not my thing. This is Waz's thing. And Waz, you are a very, very loyal and happy Manscaped
Listen,
customer.
Man, you don't have to be old school on this one, D.A. You can be new school.
I know. I got to get past school. It in my head. I know.
You remember right. Back in the days, man, old cats didn't shave their chests. And then the 80s happened, and it was like, nah, you need a clean chest. This is the same exact revolution, D.A. You got to keep down there clean and smooth. You want to look like a baby, but in a good way. Very smooth, very clean, very beautiful. With the Lawnmower 3.0, it's waterproof. You can take it to the shower. No cleanup necessary. That stuff goes right down the drain. Very easy to use. It's basically self-explanatory. You turn that thing on and you're going to be mowing down everything that you have to do. It brings you back to 13 when your dad sent you out to the yard and said, mow that lawn, boy. It brings you back to that. And best of all, you're not going to cut yourself. You're not going to hurt yourself. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be clean. No nicks, no cuts. Just a beautiful outcome. And that's why you should use it, man. It's easy. It's going to work perfectly, and it's just the best product that you can have for male grooming. And I know a lot of our listeners out there never thought to themselves, man, I should be grooming myself, but you should. It's going to work, and the results are going to speak for themselves.
Man, I can't do better than that in terms of testimonials. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20, the number 20, at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code THEATHLETIC20. Take your grooming game to the next level. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Look at the numbers. Like in the playoffs, their numbers are good, but they're not like number one in everything. You know, they're like top five in most in terms of the playoff teams, in terms of defensive rating and all of those things, points allowed and 3-point percentage allowed. They're good, but it's not like they're destroying people defensively. It's not like they're playing a level like Boston's destroying people defensively. Like they're taking people out of what they do offensively. Miami's not, and they're still 7-1, and they're all, again, they have dominated most of the play against the team that everybody in the league thought was the best team in the league going into the playoffs. I shouldn't say everybody. Many people thought was the best team in the league going into the playoffs.
I wasn't on that train. Yeah. But Jax, I want to ask you about that because it was one of, and that's another funny thing about this series. It was one of the things that the quote unquote experts were like, Miami's going to beat these dudes up. They're going to mess them up. The Bucks are they're running into a buzzsaw. And that was the chatter around the series coming into it. I want to know, what was the vibe of the team beforehand? Obviously, Spoelstra's a confident guy. We know what Jimmy's about. He fears no man, no team, no situation. But what was the sort of vibe of the team coming into the Bucks series, coming into we're going to play the number one seed in the East?
This is the challenge I have being, 275 miles away, in a perch next to the bar in American next Airlines to Arena.
Near Ruth Riley Hunter.
Yeah, I'm right there trying not to cuss. And I don't have Waza Daily Connect, so I'm going to give you my feeling.
Yes.
Or what they have been remarkably boring in their assessment of what's going on. And that's taking a cue from Spo. Spo doesn't provide you with that that fodder, that you can then.
You can't smell the bravado.
Doesn't allow it. Now, Jimmy, that we always wait for the Jimmy press conference. Jimmy going to tell you, we didn't come out here to lose, did we? You expect to win the next game. And he's been so consistent with that I believe it now. I believe that he believes he should win every single game. But I think if you're just dealing in a meeting with the dry erase board and a television monitor, you're saying to yourself, we know we have what's needed to beat them. We have a defensive wherewithal that's going to make everything hard for Giannis. And we have an ability to recover to be able to get out to whoever decides to be their shooter that day. And everyone else, all the best to you. Like, if George Hill's going to get busy, if my man DiVincenzo's going to get loose, and in many ways, and not as easy, I should say, and I should give a lot of credit to Lopez because he's got Bam most of the time. Yeah. And so that would be the death knell for me. I'd be like, wait a minute, Bam's second, man, get this dude off me so I can get some buckets, you know? Yeah. And so give Brook Lopez some credit because he's had to work hard to get his and he's been able to get it. But my point being for Milwaukee, if those first two dudes have any struggle, there's not enough firepower. So then they got to go the other way, right? And they got to try to shut you down. And what I've come to find out, and I didn't realize this until now, guys, and something to keep an eye on. I'm not here to criticize anybody or their way. I know the difference. There's something about how hard those guys go that don't allow them to go as long as they need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kindest way I could put it. So it's an observation that you look at the stat sheet and go, these guys don't play any minutes. Why don't they play any minutes? What is this? Now I'm talking about the top two.
And
you go, well, what is, I don't get, well, listen, there's a way that the science speaks to us now. There's a way that the medicine speaks to us. There's probably a process that Bud has. Mm-hmm. And then there's a realization that these guys are just going to go until they're exhausted, that they don't really float around. And that's to their credit. But there's also a nuance to this that you've got to realize. We can't have 5-6 minutes in the fourth quarter of you getting a breather.
Yeah, right, right.
Do that stuff in the first 36 minutes. Figure out how to get that stuff done. And that's not to say, you know, other teams don't have ways to protect their stars and make sure that they're playing at the highest level when they're on the floor. It's just this isn't the time. Like, this isn't the space for that. Almost, you know, that's what timeouts are for, baby. You know, they tend to be used now more than ever for coaches, unfortunately, for their challenges. I hope there's like two more tweaks for that, by the way. If you win your challenge, you should keep your timeout. That's ridiculous, right?
Right.
No, you do keep your timeout. You should keep your challenge. That's the thing.
You just get the challenge. Right?
Yeah, no, keep it. You win, keep it. Maybe later. But anyway, and then, you know, when teams are under duress, sometimes they take off the dirt part. They just need some rest, you know, and I know Bud actually, and with the help of Middleton going down the stretch, fourth quarter and overtime, used a couple of those timeouts because exhaustion was in play without 34 in the mix. But it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on there. I don't know if that fits into the reason why Miami just is that for the Bucks. I think every great team has it. I remember back when the Big Three just could not get over the Bucks, like the Joe Johnson Bucks.
Right.
They just got up in them. Now got to the playoffs and it was five and I'm out of here. Right.
But right.
There was something during those regular season matchups that just, you know, it happens. I'm sure every championship caliber team, top seed team, has a team they just don't want to be bothered with. And while Milwaukee, I think, genuinely has stepped to and tried to meet this challenge and wants to extend this thing, you know, even further, that they're honestly, you know, if you look in the mirror, go, yeah, there's just the tenaciousness, the disciplined defense, the timeliness of being able to respond to being pushed back. All these things have to be in their mind of my Lord.
So what does this do? I wonder, because we know what Rowles is planning and has been planning for a while for the summer of 21. I don't know what you're talking about either. but I would think this might accelerate those plans, maybe half a season so that maybe, I mean, could they, do you pull the trigger now to get what you want or when the season ends, whenever their season ends?
They don't have to.
They don't have to. Right.
No, I look at the, I look at, like, Rouse has a lot of options this summer, like you were alluding
that's
to.
What,
like,
right, it's exactly.
Not, it's not summer, right? It's fall now. I got to get my seasons together. in this coming off season.
Right.
Patrick James Riley has a lot of flexibility coming up. Yeah. And I here's what I think occurs with that flexibility. I don't know anything. Man, Pat doesn't call me. You know what I mean? But if it was my money, I just do short-term extensions on the guys that are here, right? I just Gorin, come in here. I'm going to give you a stack for a year. DJ, KO, come on. Get this.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that he still have none and Duncan for another year for sugar. Or sugar grains. Like just, oh my God. It's amazing.
They call those team friendly deals.
But it's when you develop your own guys. Like NBA teams, hear me. They're the best,
I think, of all of any team in the league, of any franchise in the league. And they have been for a decade.
The only people who can even speak to it is Toronto. They're the only other ones who are just finding dudes.
Yeah,
and just making it happen. What a
minor league should be. Like, it should be a place where, you know what? I saw this kid in Ann Arbor, and he didn't miss for an hour. We should probably bring him in. Let's take a look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, hey, how about that guy in Santa Cruz who never played a second in the league but was balling from the bench?
Yeah.
We should probably sign him on the last day of the year. Just bring him in for the summer, see what he smells like.
Right.
You know what I mean? And or there's other kids the Phoenix didn't have no time for. He might be the dunk champ.
And the Kendrick Nunn one is amazing to me because, I mean, it's not like Golden State didn't have him. They had him. You know what I mean?
They're too rich at that spot.
Right.
Too much going on at the guard position. They couldn't.
Right.
The richness.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing.
On the bench. You know what I mean? Like,
not
terrible being a backup.
Their guys, they keep doing it. At some point, you just look at other teams that never get within a sniff of the playoffs that are always in the lottery. And you go, what are you looking at? Like, why do you evaluate players? Because they seem to do it way better than you do, like year in and year out. Every year, they're in the playoffs and you're in the lottery.
Decide who you want to be and gather players that fit that. It sounds really simple. It sounds really simple. But what you recognize full well is that there is this reactionary feeling that the governors of teams tend to have.
Yes.
general managers and presidents tend to have itchy trigger fingers. When you have a stable family that is now in their third generation of leadership, when you have a team president that is nearing his third decade, actually is wrapping up his third decade of leadership, when the head coach has been here for the same amount of time, you then can look players in the eye, even during free agency, and say with a straight face, hey, I want to let you know something. This place ain't for everybody.
Right. Right.
If you come in here, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And not the good kind of different.
Right.
A hard kind. Right. But we do pay on time around here. So there's that. You know what I mean? And so if it's me, I got Gorin on a 1-year deal. I re-sign. What I was thinking? DJ. Iggy. Iggy's got a second year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Right.
Yes. Crowder, I'm saying, listen, you smell like us, baby.
Right.
I know you can see this calendar in front of your face. So we're going to hit you with a nice one. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a 3 or 4 1-year deals to kind of just hold the topography and let's see what next summer looks like. I'd roll with this squad again, wouldn't you?
Hell. Absolutely.
Come on.
And Jimmy said the plan was to get another guy. We're just going to bring players in. We're going to be a championship quality type of team. And, man, I was somebody who absolutely underrated them. I said, man, when they get in front of playoff defenses, Jimmy as great as he is, he might not be enough to score against a set playoff defense, but they proved this wrong. But Jax, I want to ask you, because I'm always fascinated to ask the people who were actually there. I'm somebody who I feel like we're all still chasing the high of the decision. We're all still chasing that high of the Heatles. Like, what, when you think about that time in Heat history where it seemed like the center of the universe was Biscayne Bay, what do you think? I know you have warm feelings about that time.
I said this to somebody recently that I would fight someone if they had anything poor to say about those 4 years. Like I have a visceral reaction to anybody connected to the organization or the fan base that has anything crazy to say about LeBron James or anything that happened after stuff happens. Like I've come to learn, man, listen, the beautiful thing about Dwayne leaving was him coming back, you know, and it sucked what happened to CB, but nobody planned that and there's nothing to do, but do the right thing and keep living. Right. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, as you watched it, and David sometimes right there in the gym with me, each night, those guys made you feel like you spent your hard-earned money for something that was extremely reasonable. Like you did, you got entertained, love or hate them, any way it went. And I'll leave you with this because I do have to go earn some other cash. I'll leave you with this thought. I said this one the other day. I went back and counted 81 postseason contests in those 4 years. We played another season, and I got paid for each and every one individual stacks of cash. It was glorious. And here's the thing. Could there have been more? Maybe, but it wouldn't have felt the same. I think the agony of 11 is what fueled the next three.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was no way to match the desperation of the Spurs in 14. They had one focus. And it was to win the championship, and it would have been lovely if they would have played Miami. It wasn't necessary, but they got to, and they redeemed themselves in a way that you can't match.
I think they would have fixed the finals that year to make sure Miami got back to the finals. That's how bad they wanted Miami again.
Anyone. That stuff stayed in their craw like the entire.
It's the most amazing coaching job I've ever seen, because they were dead. They were dead, done, finished, over. It's over. It's over.
You just broke it up, Dave, as you well know.
Yeah.
They would have just broken it up. Hey, that was a hell of a run, right, boys?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And everybody.
Let's see what we can get for Timmy or Parker. You know what I mean? Like,
And that's what goes back to the thing I said before. For any team that thinks this is mysterious or some sort of crossroads, sell your soul to the devil thing. No, this is what happens in Miami is on purpose.
Yeah.
It is a way that they decided to be. It's you're going to be fit. You're going to be together. And when I say together, you are going to enjoy your teammates' success, or this won't be the spot for you.
Yeah.
We lift on game day around here. Okay. Right. In the hallway. All right. Mm-hmm. If necessary. That there's a body fat index all season long with big old fines to the edge of the law, you know, and that there are shoot arounds and practices with tape, knee pads, elbow pads, and mouthpieces.
Yeah.
And don't nobody around here play golf except in secret.
Speaking of playing golf in secret.
Good day, gentlemen.
Jason, as always, I love you, boy. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Well, it's always a pleasure, man.
The great Jason Jackson.
Take it easy, my brother.
That's my man. You know what? Wise, I've known Jax. When did I get to ESPN? 1996. Mm. And I've said this many times and continue to say it. I was there for 8 years, almost, I think the last five or six, doing NBA Tonight with Jason and with Freddie Carter. It was the best time I ever had. It was the most fun I ever had in 30 years of this business. Watching games with those two, making just laughing the whole time. doing the shows when nobody, when the ESPN didn't have the NBA and frankly didn't care about the NBA. And so they left us alone and let us do the show. And our great producer, Chris Lumber, we just had so much fun those years. And he's been a friend ever since. And just a great guy. Great guy. Enjoy having him on. And hopefully we'll have him on more often. Probably will.
Got to.
You know, they keep going and making this run. But look, my brother, stay cool in hot ass LA right now. And we will be back next week. And by next week, we should be at conference finals time, I think, for all of these series. So
yes, sir.
We'll have some stuff to talk about. So thank you all. Leave that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, wherever else you see us and get us. And join in. Tell a friend. See ya.
Welcome to Who
Comma Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.